I think it's great that people love the work I'm doing. Like, it means a lot. But I think for me, what makes me feel better about myself is, did I do my best work? Am I having an impact? Am I having a positive impact? I think that gets me pumped.
What's going on? You're listening to episode 105 of the Perspective Podcast, and I'm your host, Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective. This show is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, my guests and I provide the tools for thinking bigger, overcoming adversity, and making an impact with your work. At the end of each episode, I share a listener of the week, so stick around and figure out how you can get a shout out on a future episode in the show notes as well as in the newsletter. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Industry Print Shop out of Austin, Texas. Industry is the authority in screen printing apparel and posters. Their all-star staff will guide you through their order process and help you rock your vision from an idea to a tangible product. Check out industryprintshop.com or follow them at industryprintshop on the grams. Stick around as I'll have a deal for you that'll help you get your foot in the door with your own merch game. Now let's settle in. If you're a creative like me, you deal with imposter syndrome, burnout, finding time to make personal work, combined with the desire to create something meaningful. Some people refuse to admit these flaws publicly as they feel that would tarnish their potential professional perception. In my eyes, showing the world that you're human attracts more people to you, no matter if you're a wide-eyed rookie or a polished vet in the game. No one, I repeat, no one, not a single creative out there has it all figured out. And no matter how hard they try to convince you through their curated social presence, they're full of shit. No one has it figured out. I promise you that. We appreciate knowing that the people we admire the most struggle with the same things we do. At least I do, and that's what I try to share with you on each episode. I believe it levels the playing field and empowers you and me to take it up a notch because that person we admire so much is human, just like us. Cue today's guest, Nick Slater. Illustrator and design Goliath, slanging jaw-dropping work out of the Bay Area. He's worked for or worked with big brands like Lyft, Slack, Twitter, Asana, Zendesk, Airstream, Epicurrents, and The Washington Post, to name a few. His creativity, diverse skill set, and frequent output certainly may persuade you and I that he's a robot. Beep boop. However, with how open he is about his struggles we all deal with, convinces you he's human. And that's what I love most about Nick. He's got big time work, but he doesn't have a big time head. In today's episode, Nick Slater and I go deep into the nitty gritty about how a monster in the illustration game still gets caught up in the comparison trap, making time to grind outside a day job, fighting burnout by finding new outlets, looking inside to create impactful work outside, of course, what his last slice of pizza would be if he was on death row. This one's going to give you all the feels and set a fire under your keisters to push you to the next level as you and I finish off this week strong and most importantly, this year strong. So you know the drill. Take a screenshot or share a video of the episode you're listening to and tag me on Instagram at Perspective Podcast and let me know what you think. I have enjoyed the hell out of connecting with you each and every week, and you know, let's continue to do it. I really enjoy getting to know you and have these little mini chats that we have. You're listening to episode 102 with Nick freaking Slater. Let's go. Hello there. Today we have my brother, an illustration behemoth, Nick Slater on the show. Nick, welcome to the Perspective Podcast. Thank you so much for your time today. How the hell are you, man?
Great. It's Wednesday. It's a good day. Can't complain. Yeah, it's bagel day at work.
So bagel
that's
day.
Yeah, man. You know, you can't be a good bagel.
Yeah. So. what I think is cool right now is that you and me are both recording on our lunch breaks at our day jobs. You're a couple hours back behind, so you're at 10 a.m. So we're recording with some type of break at our day job.
Yeah, it's my breakfast break. I guess you can call it.
And you currently, I know I've been following you for a little bit, and I know you were at Asana for a little bit. Were you doing some freelance on your own for a time?
No. I mean, I did a little bit of freelance full time, but I went to I left Asana, and then Slack, and then decided that wasn't necessarily like the best fit for me. Mm-hmm. Still a really great team. A lot of the folks I worked with are really amazing, but you know, there's sometimes that question you have to ask yourself, like, is this the best place for me to grow as an individual, as a contributor? And so, you know, it was a really tough decision. I talked a lot about it with my wife, and ultimately felt like in order for me to feel really fulfilled in the things I'm doing, Lyft seemed like a really great opportunity to go focus and double down on the passions I care about for illustration. Plus, like, the team and the structure that are in place here at Lyft really is that support that's going to help me thrive. And so it made it a lot easier for me to make the decision. It wasn't easy to leave Slack and my team, but it made it easier knowing that I was going in the right direction. It is a better opportunity for me to, like, grow and develop into what I want to, you know, be and say in, like, the next 5 years. So, yeah.
Let's rewind it all the way back and learn more about kind of your backstory. Like, what got you into design and more specifically illustrations? And what are the kind of the jobs? Did you go to school for this? And, you know, did you hold some kind of other shitty jobs on the side that maybe kind of taught you things along the way to where you are today, where, you know, it all just comes into play where you're at Lyft?
Yeah. Okay. So that's a really great question. it might be a little long-winded. So I actually grew up in upstate New York. Once I graduated high school, I immediately moved to Pittsburgh and went to school at the Art Institute of Pittsburgh to study originally game art and design. And usually what happens when you submit your portfolio, they determine if you're good enough to get into the program or not. Mm-hmm. My portfolio was not good enough, so they threw me into the graphic design program to, one, build my portfolio and foundation skills. At the moment in time, I wasn't really necessarily sure about myself and, like, where I was going to develop and grow into. And as time went on, my perception of, like, what it is to be a designer started to change, as an artist started to change, to be able to still build complex compositions, but not necessarily like painting or drawing, but using layout and typography, really started to build some embers to figure out, like, a deeper passion of this is something that I find fulfilling. And eventually when I graduated from the Art Institute of Pittsburgh, that was also when the recession happened. And so there was, like, 6 months of, one, taking advantage as an illustrator and designer as freelancing. So that was kind of a wake up call. I would go on interviews. So there was moments in time that I would, you know, go to 5-6 interviews a week, and the sad thing is, like, they didn't have the work. Like, I guess at one time when I was interviewing at Abercrombie & Fitch for a junior design role in their marketing department, of course they didn't get the job. They're like, well, if you don't ever make it as a designer, I'm pretty sure you can make it as a comedian. I'm like, cool, thanks, man. Feedback. But I think it actually kind of worked out. The week later, I was also interviewing at American Eagle and getting the opportunity to work at American Eagle and the marketing department.
As a comedian?
As a comedian, yes. Yeah. But then my other areas of responsibility was also working on print-related pieces that you would see in the storefronts. So a plethora of different signages, and also understanding the constraints of when you're working with different demographics. It's really hard to sell lingerie in a country that doesn't necessarily approve of women showing skin, say the Middle East. So that was very enlightening of trying to figure out how to work within those types of constraints. And then the market continued to crash. I was laid off.
So is this like 2008 through 2010 time?
Yeah, basically.
Because I graduated 2010 and I could not get a job for 3 years in design.
Yeah. So it was between 2008 to 2011, actually. So what happened is when I was let go from American Eagle, I was freelancing, working part-time at American Eagle as a contractor, and then working at a gym. So I was basically working from 5 in the morning till 2 o'clock at night. I did that for like 6 months straight. Never had a day off within those 6 months. And then I ended up taking a job designing basically PowerPoint presentations. It wasn't like, you know, what you can do today with Keynote. or Google Slides. It was basic keynotes that you would, you know, for like pitch decks for, you know, C's or the local hospital. So it wasn't like something that was really fulfilling or that really pushed you as a creative. And so I had a deeper question of like, is this something I really want to do? Is this a passion I really want to pursue? And it's either I could quit and move back home, or I could double down and look for opportunities outside of Pittsburgh. If there was an opportunity here, then I would go to New York City or Columbus or the Midwest. I found a job posting at a company called Palantir.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so I wasn't necessarily sure it was going to be, you know, an opportunity for me to go out and interview. I didn't even think they were going to call me for a phone screen. And so I ended up getting an email saying, hey, we would like to fly out. And I was like, this is the weirdest experience. It seemed really odd to me that a company would be willing to fly me out to for an on-site.
And where were they located?
Palantir is based in Palo Alto as their HQ, but they have locations all around the world. At the time, there was only three locations. It was they just opened up New York back in 2011. They had DC and Palo Alto. So they were just expanding. And so I flew out, did the interview. At the time, the team that I was working with, one of my really close friends I still talk to on a pretty much a daily basis is Colin Rowe Raymond. He's a really good friend of mine. He used to work in Marvel designing like swag and other print related materials. Fast forward, I'm still working at this job doing PowerPoint presentations. It's not really that fulfilling. It's like 10 or 20 people in like a small room just building out these components and, you know, barely getting paid above minimum wage. It was really an odd experience. But I think when you go through those type of ups and downs, it really gives you the opportunity to appreciate the opportunity when something good comes along.
Yeah. The highs and lows, man, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And it's tough. And you know, those are things I still deal with today. And it's hard to pull yourself out of those situations when it might not necessarily be, you know, at the time, the best predicament.
Yeah.
It's hard to be positive when you feel unsure about your capability, or is this work I'm producing my best work? Am I growing? Am I fine? Is the passion that I have for design still there? It's that imposter syndrome that constantly lingers, that, you know, is always in the back of your mind when you're trying to push through a project.
That's what's great about you. You're so humble and modest when so many people put you on this God pedestal of an illustrator, yet you still talk about imposter syndrome in comparison. Like, how does that affect you with someone looking like me on the outside looking in? You're like crushing it for these massive companies with huge designs, yet you still deal with that. You know, I think that's just such a human quality about you.
It's tough. There's definitely days where I feel very, I would say I would be depressed at most times.
Most times.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, you know, even this past year, like I felt very depressed about where I was at in my life, and it felt very hard for me to be motivated to make things. It's really hard to come home or wake up early in the morning or whatnot, and sit down and start trying to, you know, produce something. I would make something and I would want to share it, but then I feel very unsure. Like, is this really good? And I won't post it. Or I would stop working on that particular piece and switch to something else. When you start to feel in those particular moods, it's really, you feel unmotivated, and it's difficult. I talked about it with my wife Megumi, and also, you know, some of my really close friends like Matt Helm and Mike Casebolt. You know, and I think sometimes when you go through those type of situations where you feel very unsure, don't feel satisfied or motivated to, you know, to make something or produce works, I think you need to take a step back and really think about, okay, why do I feel this way? Like, what is making me feel this way? Like, how can I fix this situation? Do I need to give myself time to catch my breath and just digest what's going on? Because it's natural to feel this way. It's okay to feel unsure about yourself or feel like you're not as good as you think you are. because I think those are normal human emotions that anyone can relate to.
And you have to feel them instead of bury them.
Yeah, yeah. Or talk about it. And I think communication is a hard part. Even like talking to my wife about these things that I have, because she's not a designer. So to her, like, you know, it's hard for her at times to fully understand the emotions I'm going through, because from an outside perspective, everything looks fine. But, you know, when you start to have these, I guess, like negative emotions or frustrations, it can start permeating to other things that are not necessarily your design life. It could be your personal relationships. I would say, like, this past year, the frustrations I was having was actually having a negative impact on my wife. And so, like, that's not fair to her either. Like, what was going to make me happy and get into a better place? Naturally, those things that were affecting my life outside design started to get better as well. I still think there's a lot of things I need to improve on, not just as a designer, but as a person. But I think right now, I think it's getting better.
So how did you approach that? So you go through these question filters, like, how do you get back on the right track? How do you pull yourself out of a funk? Because I think so many people deal with that and they're not sure how to respond. Is it just create and push through it? Or is it take a step back and reflect on things and talk it out with someone else to find your groove? How does Stella find her groove back? How does Nick Slater find his groove again?
You know, I don't know necessarily that I still have found my groove or got back to like how I felt or was producing as much as I was. But I think I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with not staying up to, you know, to 3 o'clock in the morning, burning the midnight oil and burning my candle at both ends. Like, that's totally fine.
Is it more like just giving yourself permission? Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be this version that you thought you had to be.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I have to put this weight on myself that I don't necessarily need to do that. Like, I don't need to make myself believe that I have to constantly be making something every single time. Like, when I was producing and I felt like I was cranking out work at a prolific level, if you would say that.
When would that have been?
I would say when I was working at Asana, when I was constantly producing works or taking on freelance or staying late to work, like, that started having a negative impact on my relationship with my wife.
Yeah.
I was putting my ambitions of trying to push myself and grow as a designer and putting aside like what was most important. And that was like my family.
You're like speaking to my life story right now, for sure.
And it's tough because like I do love making things. I do love working with people and producing and creating, you know, new types of works. But I think when it came down to it, when I realized that I was having a negative impact on my relationship with my wife, I realized that also there was a lot of things I was suppressing that I wasn't acknowledging. And that was the fact that like I had a lot of these, I guess, negative emotions or frustrations about myself as a designer, as a person. And so when I realized that I was not necessarily in a good place and that I needed to focus on other things that are more important than just producing things, I realized at that point that all these things that I neglected was because of the fact that I was focusing more on producing work rather than spending time enjoying life and having a good time with my wife. And so I think now working at Slack and Asana, there's a lot of really key moments that I learned about me as a person. And so going through these stages, Asana was really great to work at. The people that and those lasting relationships that I built, you know, are still very important. The people that I work with at Slack, still amazing individuals, had a great time, but realized it wasn't the best place. And because I went from a position that I felt like I was having a huge contribution to, and then going to another company that I wasn't necessarily sure of or focusing on the work that I wanted to do, kind of helped surface these issues that I was having in my life. Having a retrospective, sitting down with my wife and talking about what I need to do to get into a better place. Collectively, I think both of us realized like going to Lyft was actually a really great opportunity. So that's where I'm at now. I love it.
I gotta take a moment to give a huge shout out to my homie Tony Diaz and the Industry Print Shop crew out of Austin, Texas, who are leaders in the world of screen printing. They work with juggernauts like Lincoln Design Co., Benny Gold, James Victory, Draplin, Volcom, you name it, they probably worked with them, and now they want to collab and make cool stuff with you too. If you're looking to get started in the merch game with prints or apparel, take advantage of this podcast listener-only deal. When requesting a quote at industryprintshop.com, mention promo code PERSPECTIVE to receive free screen setup up to $120 or get 100 free 3x3 die-cut stickers on any new minimum orders placed. So here's an example. The most recent t-shirt and screen printed poster that I put out for episode 100, which you can still snag at perspective-collective.com/shop. But both of these designs had four separate colors, so four separate screens need to be set up. Right there, you immediately save $120 in screen fees. That's pretty awesome. Or you can leave your mark by plastering 100 stickers all across your turf of your favorite design. Either way, it's a win-win. So again, request a quote at Industry Print Shop and use promo code PERSPECTIVE to take advantage of this deal. Thanks, Industry. Love you guys. From the outside looking in, like, you still create at a prolific output level. I wouldn't have known this had you shared this. So, like, how do you make time for working on projects that you wish to see in this world outside of your day job and making sure that you are mentally, emotionally, and physically available for your wife and friends and family? How do you do it all? Do you still create daily for yourself?
I still create things daily.
Like pockets of time? Do you schedule it, or you just strike when the iron's hot and you feel it in the mood?
I would say the latter. I try not to force it. If I'm in the mood and I really want to make something, I'll make something. If I can pursue my ambitions through the work I'm doing at Lyft, then I definitely try to pour my heart and soul into that. But if there's like something that pops in my head that I really want to work on, I'll just draw on a post-it note. Lately, I've been really enjoying just drawing and doodling on post-it notes. It kind of curves that or quenches a little bit of that flame of like, I want to produce something, but I don't necessarily have the time, but I really want to get this idea out.
Yeah.
And so I'll just sketch it out real quick. And then when I have time, I'll come back to it. If I don't, it's fine. Someday when I have a moment, I'll sit down and start making it. But I'm not going to try to overwork myself and try to crank something out when I don't necessarily have the time to do that at the moment, or I have other more pressing things I need to focus on. And I think also the fact, like, you know, I turned 30 this year.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, man. It's a good year. I got to do the things I wanted to do. I feel like when I went to Palantir, Sauna, and Slack, I got to do and work on the things that, you know, I went out and set my mind on. And but I think this, you know, the coming years, I want to kind of settle down. I want to focus on, you know, starting a family. There's other things that are not necessarily part of being a designer. You know, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. You know, I want to be a better person. So working on those particular things are things that I'm very ambitious about in the coming years. So I hope that makes sense.
No, totally makes sense. I just had my first kid, and it radically changes how you view the world of what's important, what's essential, and what have you just been putting on your plate that doesn't even fucking matter.
Yeah, I think when you as a person start putting unnecessary stress on yourself, it starts to affect you as a person. It's amazing how the fact that when you have so much stress and how unhealthy it is, and then when you start to acknowledge the fact that you are creating a lot of these frustrations yourself, you're just like, why have I been doing this? Like, why have I been killing myself just to make like this one icon?
There's a ripple effect to everything that we focus on to create. Because it's in our DNA. We are creatives and we design our own lives. And then we get so wrapped up in our worlds and our dreams of what we're creating, and it just ripples outward.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What, next year, my wife and I are planning on a trip with because my wife, Megumi, is actually from Japan. She still has family in Japan. Her father goes back and forth to Japan because he travels for business. But apparently, he is trying to become a monk. And so we're going to go to Japan next year for the ceremony where my father-in-law, his name's Steve. His name's not really Steve. His name's Satoru, but he likes being called Steve. So we're going to go visit. We're going to stay in Japan for hopefully a couple weeks and hopefully get to travel. I don't know if you've ever been to Japan, but it's really pretty. They have this craft store in Tokyo, and I think Ginza, and it's a two-building paper, pencils, markers, anything to think of that involves like craft and being an artist. And it's a really cool experience. So hopefully I get to go back there and get some. There's like these brush pens I bought when I was in Japan. And that was like a couple years ago. And they just finally died. So I feel very, very, really sad. I feel very sad the fact that they finally died, because I don't have any backups, and they're the only ones I actually enjoy using when I draw on my sketch, like my sketch pad or my post-it notes. They just feel really, really good. And they finally died, so hopefully I can go back and get some more. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Josh Lewis, who's also a pretty talented illustrator, on Instagram, I posted a little question, sourced in some questions from people, and I thought this one was interesting, because you are such a prolific designer. This is exactly what his word says. How does Nick fight burnout? He's so prolific and keeps creating at a high level. And for me, is it that you keep experimenting all the time? Like, we've had conversations in the past on the side, is you're always creating. You want to create in all different styles. So is it hard to find burnout when you always want to experiment, or what is it for you? Because you can dish it out in so many different styles, and you dabble in hand lettering.
When I started dealing with my burnout, I was also going through this time of being depressed. And so I think it was a really good chance for me to realize that, hey, I'm also not feeling good as a person, but I'm also not feeling good as a designer, because I'm overworking myself. And so when I realized the fact that I was burning myself out, I think ways for me to get around with it is like try to find things I enjoy doing. Like, I really recently realized that I enjoy gardening. Like, it's a lot of fun. It's very calming. Like, it's fun, like pruning my plants and watering my succulents and
rewarding.
Yeah, it's really fulfilling. Like, it's super stoked when I get to, like, I have a basil plant. Her name's Basil. And it's really awesome when she grows, like, these awesome leaves. And I'm like, let's make some, like, I don't know, let's make some margarita pizza. Oh, but we need to get a pizza stone. Like, let's make some really good pizza. Or, you know, do some, like, basil pasta or whatnot. Don't ever grow your spearmint with your basil, though. I heard they, like, overtake everything. So that's one thing I'm starting to learn. But, yeah, I think when I started to deal with these frustrations of being burnt out, I really tried to pursue other things that I found really fulfilling.
Like another outlet.
Yeah. I think it's good to be creative at all points of time, but it doesn't necessarily always have to be design or illustrating. Like, you can be creative, something as simple as just woodworking or making pottery, or doing something with my wife. Like, I really want to do some cooking classes with my wife. Like, I think she would love that if I can cook a little bit better. Those are fun things that you can do as a couple. So I think those are some ways I'm trying to deal with being burnt out and also trying to get in a better place as a creative.
From the outside looking in, I also mentioned that I appreciate just your humble and modesty. And I know people kind of put you on this pedestal. What keeps you grounded and keeps you hungry to get better? For me, from what I see for you, there's no max potential. You'd never reach your limit. You know, there's always something else you can do.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You just proved my point right there.
I think what keeps me driven is the fact that I love making the things I do, but also the fact that, like, I get to share that with people.
Do you create for you first? Like, you're not worried about creating what other people want to see. You create for you, other than a client job, of course.
I think there's different stages. You can make things because you want to share things with people. You want to make stuff for yourself. But I think what I found really fulfilling is like making things with a purpose, or being purposeful about creating the works I do and how I incorporate thoughtfulness and approachability. You know, these are attributes that I learned when I was at Asana that I try to emulate and carry through my work. The fact that when I started thinking about the ideas behind the things I was producing, how that's going to have impact on people in a positive way. And also, if it has negative impact on someone, like, why? Like, asking those questions of, like, why you feel this way, rather than just making it because it looks really cool. I immediately realized, like, my work was starting to improve. Trying to not be overly influenced about what's going on with current trends, and just exploring the things that I find exciting that makes me question, like, oh, this is a really cool idea. How can I push this, or how can I build on this? What can I do to drive this home that will make it a stronger concept or a stronger style? And I think that gets me really pumped when I'm exploring, when I'm producing work. I would hope people would know that at the end of the day, people assume just because, like, I do these things or I'm like, you know, whatever, you know, at the end of the day, I'm just a normal person. I think having a really strong support system with my wife, you know, she really keeps me grounded. Like, she keeps me level-headed and not just as like, you know, it's really bad when your ego starts to take hold of yourself. I think I think that can have a negative impact on you as a person or how people perceive you as a person. And so I would hate to have an interaction with someone that they left like, oh, I did not have such a great experience like talking to Nick. Like, I would hate to hear that.
I love that. You've been real since day one, ever since I met you at Creative South, right outside of you getting done teaching your badge workshop. I remember, like, you were one of the people I needed to meet there, and I met you, like, the first day, and you were just a chill human.
It was funny, because you're like, you called me, hey, Mr. Slater. I was like, oh, man, I make you feel so old.
I still call you Mr. Slater. And I'm older than you by a month.
Yeah. I was like, oh, man. Like, I mean, I know I look old, but geez.
You're good, man.
I would just like to be happy. I would just like to be happy with the things I'm doing. I think it's great. And people love the work I'm doing. Like, it means a lot. But I think for me, what makes me feel better about myself is, did I do my best work? Am I having an impact? Am I having a positive impact? I think that gets me pumped.
I heard something recently. An Instagram influencer said this at like some Instagram influencing awards, and I thought it was cool that you and me technically are influencers, okay? And we have the ability to influence someone in a negative way. Like, we have the ability or the duty, we could either influence people, be like, yo, check out these new shoes, you should get the same new shoes, or you can influence for positive with your work, like especially with voting, people doing design for change and for impact. And I think you basically just sold me that you're using your platform for positive influence. You know, you want people to leave away from an interaction with you or from your work, leaving them as a better person.
I think life is just too short to be upset or be frustrated.
Or be an asshole.
I understand people have frustrations. I understand people go through situations in life where it's really difficult. Like, totally get it. But I think if you're able to be positive and emulate in a way that is a good manner, and hopefully if other people see that, will emulate that type of energy, I think it's a much better outlet, or I guess a better influence for the community, rather than when, say, like when you go on Twitter and there's like the Twitter drama.
Dude, design Twitter, it's the worst.
It's tough. I think it's fascinating when I see people talking about criticizing other people rather than having like a, like, just having a grown up conversation of like, hey man, this really makes me upset when you do this, and then talking about it rather than just, you know, subtweeting. I think we can all have, I guess, some hand in that. Like, I think we all do that. But I think being conscious about the fact that, like, am I being a positive impact in the community, or am I being constantly negative? Or am I doing things that are creating situations where younger designers are going to emulate in a negative way? Because that's one thing that makes me nervous is, say that there's like a young kid out of college or in college, and I say something that is not necessarily like the correct way to handle a situation, and they pick up on that and carry that type of attitude later down the road. Like, I don't necessarily think like that is the right thing for me to do. And so, like, I think always approaching a situation in the best way, you know, being kind, respecting other people for the decisions. And just like, if you don't necessarily agree, just be like, how about we disagree to disagree? You can spend all your time arguing and, you know, wasting your air trying to get your point across. And sometimes people are not going to agree with that. And that's totally fine.
I dig it.
I can talk about this conversation. I can talk about this thing about InDesign. It just kind of bums me out.
We'll have a round two then down the road if you're cool with that.
Oh, I would love that. That'd be sick.
Okay. Before we go into rapid fire question, what's one piece of advice you give your past self when you were just starting out trying to, you know, find your groove?
One thing would be just be patient. Don't rush the process. Like, enjoy the things you're making, but don't necessarily, like, I would say you don't have to share things to get the affirmation that you need. The fact that you're making something and you're feeling like you're growing is more enough. It's the most valuable thing outside of having the affirmation or confirmation for other people that you're doing good work. When you're younger, you want to get that appreciation for the things you're doing and recognized, and, you know, that support. Don't rush the process, and taking the time to enjoy it, I think, is a better approach to those type of situations.
Enjoy the climb.
Yeah.
And a slow and steady grind.
Yeah, just have fun. I wish that was something that I wish I did when I was younger, was just take my time making things, having fun, exploring, and just doing that rather than trying to, I guess, get the recognition or get the likes or get the appreciation.
That's going to really hit home with people.
I hope so.
Word, rapid fire mode. You ready for this?
Okay.
Dude, it's so quick. I don't know if you'll be able to handle it. I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. If you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
Ooh, I'd do margarita.
Homemade with your basil plant?
Yeah, with basil. I would make margarita pizza with basil, the basil plant.
I go on tangents with these rapid fire, so they're really not rapid fire, but it's just fun stuff. Okay, if you could have lunch with one person, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Ooh, I would love to have lunch with Morgan Freeman.
Oh, yeah. I would want him to narrate my lunch. Where do you seek your inspiration online and offline?
So offline, I try to find inspiration just in the wild. It could be something as simple as going to the Cree market and seeing a label on some type of bottle, and I'll take a quick picture. It could be something funny you see just happening in real life. You see a weird looking car, or you see a different use of layout for something. It doesn't even have to be here in the States. It can be overseas. I thought it was really interesting when I was in Japan. They use cartoons or illustrations a lot for a lot of their informative signage. And I thought that was really neat. So I think trying to find things in the wild that like those type of works or those type of influences, I think keep things really fresh. I think online, I use Instagram quite a bit. Design inspirations I like to use. I try to follow, I guess, designers that specialize on particular things. Like Bethany Heck is a really amazing designer to follow on typography.
She's a beast.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's also a great person. I think I ask a lot of questions from my buddy Mike Casebold. On like illustrators to follow, designers to follow. We share works that we see. So I think having like a good close-knit friends to like share works or talk about things that are happening in the design world. And, you know, problem solving, like, how does someone make this? This is like really cool. I didn't even think about this. This is a really cool idea. And whatever goes with the flow, just try to enjoy it. So
script serif or sans serif?
I would say lately I've been jiving on script.
You've hit me up with some script things on the side that you're working on, so.
Nothing as good as you make, but I appreciate that.
I would have taken you for a sans serif guy, so nice. That script is my favorite. I want everyone to say that, so you caught me off guard pleasantly.
Yeah. I mean, it depends, right? Like, you know, I think there's a lot of great fonts out there, and there's a lot of really, you know, really cool lettering forms. Some days I feel like a script guy, sometimes I feel like a sans guy. It just depends on, like, what I'm feeling, so.
Word.
Yeah.
In the next 5 years, what's one thing that you want to accomplish?
Oh, man. I would love to have my first kid. That's like one. That's my biggest compliment. Like my biggest thing I'm like striving for. I would love to get better on some of these other areas of design. Like I would love to get better at lettering and layout, and then also building more complex systems of illustration. Working in the marketing org and then coming to the product org as an illustrator. It's a very enlightening experience. It's different problem solving, different ways to approach situations. So that's some things I'm really excited about.
Having a kid is the coolest art project collaboration that you'll ever be able to do. Mr. Mini Slater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Last one. Where can people go to follow you online and support you?
I'm mainly on Instagram and Twitter. If people want to have questions or they want to reach out to me, my Instagram, I think, is Nick Slater Design. And then I think my Twitter handle is Slater Design.
You're right on Instagram. I'm looking it up as we speak to make sure we're giving valid information. Nick Slater Design on Instagram and Slater Design on Twitter. Correct. Man, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. A little bit of time out of your schedule. You dropped a ton of knowledge. I know this is going to hit home with people. I appreciate and respect you so much, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you. This is a lot of fun.
We'll have to make round two happen again.
I would love that.
All right, brother. Well, have a good rest of your day. Holler if you need anything.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Cool. Nick Slater, everyone. Wow, this dude is so talented, and he's just such a chill human. You can find the show notes of this episode containing links to everything we talked about, as well as a gaggle of his work at perspective-collective.com/105. And if you don't know of this dude's work by now, I highly insist you crawl out of whatever rock you've been living under and follow him ASAP. And you also know the drill. Make sure to take the time to reach out and shower Nick with some love if what he said today resonated with you. Nick's a sweetheart, and we sincerely appreciate you, brother. Let's move on to the listener of the week. And I keep tweaking this each week, but I want to be strategic as well as giving you love. So if you want to get a shout out on a podcast episode in the future, as well as get your name mentioned in show notes and the newsletter as the listener of the week, all you have to do is subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I can also see international reviews now too. So please, if you're outside of the United States, leave those reviews. I can now see them. And the listener of the week this week goes to Aloysius Richthofen, and it's way easier to just call him Jeremiah, and he functions under the Instagram handle livetheadventuresupply.co. And make sure you leave your Instagram handle so I can give you a nice little plug on that too. So Jeremiah states, listen to this podcast. No matter what your field, if you're creative or not, this podcast will get you motivated. Scotty is one of the best in the business, and he brings the value. His candid sharing of everything is so refreshing and is such a great source of information. From interviews to sharing his own struggles and personal setbacks, Scotty doesn't hold anything back. At the end of each episode, Scotty signs off with, "You got this." Every time, without fail, I feel those words. I feel his belief in me. I believe he really means it and has confidence in me. Thank you, Scotty, for believing in me, inspiring me to create my own adventure. You got this. Jeremiah, you are killing it. I sincerely appreciate you participating in the Perspective 100 podcast prompt, being engaged within the Facebook community at the Perspective-Collective, and just being super supportive of my work, man. I sincerely appreciate you, and I'm glad I got to shine the light on you for a little bit. And as I wrap things up, I want to give a huge thanks to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, and my executive assistant, Paige Garland. I could not do this without you two ladies. Thank you so much. And a huge thanks goes to Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on the show. Please connect with this guy. If you like his music, reach out to him at Bluka, B-L-O-O-K-A-H, on Instagram. He's always sharing some behind-the-scenes work of new music he's doing. And then go listen to all his tunes on SoundCloud and Spotify. Go support this dude. Let him know you're hearing it here. I know he will appreciate it. And as you finish off this week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.